We are talking wasps, we are talking endless forms. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from the UK. The author of, quote-unquote, a funnily and beautifully written welcome to the enigmatic, weird and wonderful world of wasps. Far too many W's for a Thursday, but there you go. Good morning to you, Prof. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm absolutely fine. It's very wet and miserable here in the UK.
Well, that's what can I say? Yes, I know I put wasps and sting on. Thank you, listeners. I'm getting WhatsApps in as we speak. Wasps, do they get a bad press, Sarian? Because we love bees. Butterflies, we all go weak at the knees because they're supposed to be, you know, I change. Therefore, you can't move for butterfly memes on the internet. Bees, everybody loves. Wasps basically get the same sort of reputation as Latino gang members. So why is this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Wasps are the gangsters of the insect world, and they're always compared to the bees, which, as you said, we absolutely love. But we need to start loving wasps too. And I think the reason that we don't like wasps is, in fact, we've done some research to show this is why, is that people don't really understand what wasps do. So the fact that the only thing that people can say about wasps is that they sting.
Yep.
But bees sting as well. But we tolerate the fact that they sting because we know the really important services that they do in the environment as pollinators. And of course, we get honey and wax from them as well. But our understanding of what wasps do is actually much less well understood. So we need to get a better understanding of what wasps do. And then I think that people will start to appreciate wasps maybe as much as they do bees.
And I mean, there's a tremendous variety. We think wasps, so people think, okay, those little nasty yellow and black annoying things. But it's not a one size fits all. There are an enormous variety of wasps as well.
There are indeed, yes. I mean, the wasp that people recognise as a wasp is the sort of the yellow jacket, the picnic bothering one that comes and buzzes around your picnics and barbecues at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And we end up flapping at it, and then it gets annoyed, and so it stings us. But actually, there are only about 50 species of those kinds of wasps in the entire world.
Yes.
Guess how many species of wasps there are in the world.
Okay, let's go. Let's go ballpark. Let's go 500, perhaps?
500. Well, it's a lot more than that. It's
okay.
About in over 100,000 species of wasps described.
Good grief.
And there are probably at least five times that yet to be discovered.
So undiscovered wasps.
Yes, undiscovered wasps, undescribed wasps. There are probably more wasps than any other insect group. So, we know there are 350,000 species of beetles, and everybody goes on about how amazing beetles are and how diverse, but actually wasps are likely to be more diverse than beetles.
Let's get the scary stuff out of the way then. First of all, I've got to ask this: if there are so many species of wasps, what's the biggest? Are hornets a subsection then of wasps, or are they completely different? Because I get those at the house too.
Hornets are a type of wasp. Yeah, so they're actually close relatives of the picnic bothering yellowjacket wasp. And they do get quite big. Yeah, so the giant Asian hornet, Vespa mandarinia, is, I don't know, about 3 or 4 centimetres long, and
Blimey.
It can fly at 40 kilometres an hour, which I think is a really amazing fact. So wasps can be really big, yeah. And actually, I was in the Amazon rainforest the other week, as a wasp biologist.
Just drop that in the conversation.
So as I was saying, I was in the Amazon rainforest. And just the other week, and we caught the most enormous spider hunting wasp. And with
hang on. Spider hunting wasp. Forget the Amazon.
Spiders. What? Yeah. So actually, if you hold up your hand and you look at your hand, probably the wasp is at least, so probably the wasp is the size of your palm.
Yeah, okay.
And with that wasp, we caught her with her prey, which was a much bigger than her tarantula. And so these spider hunting wasps are absolutely incredible. They're huge. They sound like little helicopters coming through the forest.
Right.
So they're very loud, very big, long spindly legs, beautiful long curly antenna, iridescent wings. You get the picture. She's gorgeous.
Is she on the front cover? Is she on the front cover of the book? Is that a...
Oh, that's me. Yeah, well, one of her, yes, that's a Pompilot. Yes, exactly. Right. Yes, it's just like that one. Yeah, on the cover of the paperback book, yes, that's
and
just come out.
It looks like a wasp that's been designed to go clubbing, because it's all different colours, and it's, you know, it could glow in the dark, it could show up on UV light. It is absolutely beautiful. So wasps, I suppose, they have incredibly complex social structures, because you think, well, you know, a wasp's nest. But you think about it, if you disturb a wasp's nest, I mean, they act, obviously they're social insects, they have a hierarchy, and they know how to defend themselves. What's not to like?
Well, actually, only about 1,500 species of wasps are social. The other 100,000 live on their own. They're like the spider hunting wasps. They are solitary wasps, so they don't live in a society like the ones that we are used to thinking of as a wasp society. But of those that do live in societies, you're absolutely right that they live in these incredible, complex, coordinated, cooperative societies. And in fact, I think a good comparison is with the honeybee, because again, we know heaps about the honeybee. We've been studying honeybees for millennia.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aristotle, 2,000 years ago, gave us great insights into the behaviours of the workings of the honeybee hive. And we know that they have this amazing dance that tells them where the other foragers where to go to forage. And yet everything about the picnic-bothering yellow jacket wasp is just as incredible. They have societies that are equivalent to the honeybee. So it's just that we don't quite know as much about them.
So honeybees, obviously, pollination, everything nice and warm and cuddly and furry. But wasps are extremely you mentioned, you know, taking out the occasional tarantula, you know, as a side hobby. But which is, you know, blimey. Presumably, we can call them a pest control, but they are brilliant pest controllers themselves.
Yes, no, absolutely. I like to refer to wasps as nature's pest controllers. They are everywhere. They're in every ecosystem. And whether you're a gardener, a farmer, or just somebody who doesn't want a garden and doesn't want to have other insects bothering them, wasps are your friends, because they are hunting the other insects and arthropods like spiders that you probably were in the wrong place would hate them as much as you do wasps. So particularly the yellow jacket wasps and the hornets, they're really generalist in what they hunt. So they will just be creaming off whatever is the most abundant in the landscape. So whether it's flies or spiders or caterpillars, and all of these things are key pests as well. So if you've got a wasp nest in your garden in the summer, then it will, those wasps, those, there'll be thousands of wasps in that nest, and they will all be doing you a free service of getting rid of the caterpillars on your cabbages and the aphids on your tomato plants. And they're doing it all for free, and it's an environmentally friendly solution. So it's much better than using pesticides. So if you remove that wasp nest from your garden, you probably would have to use a lot more chemicals. So we should be thinking twice before we kill wasp nests.
Yeah, I think it's very, very well. I'll tell you a couple of stories in a minute. But presumably, let's talk the biology as well. So the sting, which, you know, everybody's been stung by a wasp, last time was between the fleshy bit between my big toe and my second toe, which was an interesting my foot, you know, that bit of the foot, which made me come out with all sorts of Anglo-Saxisms. But presumably, that sting is to kill or to stun. I mean, how do they? You mentioned hunting. You know, I know people have probably just finished their breakfast, but how do they dispatch? You know, how do they consume, if you like?
Yeah, so the social wasps do kill their prey. They sometimes use their sting, but they often just use their mandibles and tear the prey apart. And then they'll chew off a bit of it and take it back to the nest and feed it to the larvae in the nest. But the solitary wasps are actually much more interesting in their hunting behavior, because they don't kill their prey, they paralyze it. So they use their stings to inject a venom, which is packed full of neurotoxins and other chemical compounds that enable them to paralyze the prey and also suppress its immune system. Because what it's going to do is bury that prey in the ground or in a pot that it's made, lay its egg on it, and then the egg will hatch into a baby wasp, and then the baby wasp will eat the paralyzed prey from the inside out.
Oh, blimey.
And the prey's still alive. It's still alive. It's like a living larder.
Oh, blimey. But there are, I mean, there are, is it, you know, I mean, and let's not get too worried, but there are zombie wasps. So there are wasps that, and I've came across this before, because when I read the press, I said, aha, I know about this one. These are the ones that make, you know, that basically make cockroaches, not a big fan of those, make them basically walking zombies. Tell us more about this.
They do. Yeah, no, they are amazing. The jewel wasp, which is a beautiful iridescent sort of greeny bluey wasp, quite a small wasp. And they paralyze cockroaches, as you just said. But cockroaches tend to be quite big, so they can't carry the cockroach very easily back to their nest. So what they do is they have two very specific types of sting that they give it. The first one is just in the main body of the cockroach, just to stop it squirming around. And then the wasp delivers a very precise sting into the brain, injecting a neurotoxin, which is specific to or bespoke to paralyzing these cockroaches. And the cockroach is paralyzed, but it can still walk. And so then what the wasp does is she kind of leads it by its antenna, like a well-trained poodle, to its underground tomb.
Good.
Isn't that marvellous? It's not evolution. It's just phenomenal.
You see, you can have your fantasy, you can have your horror, but some of the stuff that nature comes up with is absolutely brilliant. Now, we're talking about wasps, you know, being so social on them, but I said off air, I have a particular type of wasp up at my place, amongst many actually, because I get hornets as well, plus the picnic bothering wasp. But I get what we refer to as potter wasps. That's probably not the technical term, but they build individual nests for their larvae, for their pupae, larvae. What are we talking about?
Larvae. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. These are some of my favourite wasps. And actually, in the UK, the pot. So they make the little kind of Roman vase type pots. Yeah. Yeah. So we have these in the. Well, we only have one species in the UK, and you have to go to the Dorset Heathlands to find it, and they're really hard to find. But I know that in Spain and in the Mediterranean, that these are different species. There's several different species of these potter wasps, and you find them everywhere. So I'm super jealous and yeah. Need to come and study the wasps around you. But they are really fascinating. So these are solitary wasps. They build their clay pot. They will find caterpillars, often quite a few little caterpillars, put it in the pot, lay an egg on it, and then seal it up. And then the egg will hatch into a baby larva, and you know what happens next.
Right. The caterpillar. Ah, okay.
But there's another really very cool thing about these potter wasps, not just the potter wasps, but other wasps that build their nests out of clay,
yeah.
Is that they introduce, when they, so the wasps collect clay from, you know, a bit of soil. And they'll mix it up with their saliva. And in doing so, they enrich the clay to have particular minerals in it that are things like iron and magnesium and zinc, which have antibiotic properties. So they help keep the clay pot nest disease-free whilst those paralyzed caterpillars are inside it and the baby wasp is eating them. And in parts of rural Africa, people, pregnant women and children eat these pots made by wasps because they're rich in all these minerals that they need for their nutrition. And so things like iron that we would go to the pharmacy to buy when we're pregnant, these people, they get it from the wasps. So wasps are the endless givings of wasps.
Anybody listening, and I will be doing my own mail order of wasp larvae from my own house later on in the show. Here's a question in. Hi, Giles and guest. That'll be you. Why do bees give us honey, but wasps don't? That's from David in Kettering.
So wasps, so to do with their life cycle. So bees store honey in order to feed to the brood and also to feed themselves. So the brood are vegetarian. So wasps, bees, in fact, bees are just vegetarian wasps. They evolved from wasps. They're just wasps that have forgotten how to hunt.
Okay.
Whereas wasps are carnivores. And the larvae needs protein from insect prey or your barbecue. And so they don't store honey in the same way. There are a few species of wasps that do store honey, actually. There's one called the honey wasp, which you find in Latin America. And they do store honey, but and they forage on plants as well. They tend to not forage so much on meat, but they don't store a huge amount of honey. So it's not really enough to be able to harvest.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I just think the potter wasps, again, what they love to do is they love to get in clothing. And I was saying that I've got the big leather jacket that I wear and gets cold. I now I know that I have to check it every season, because one time I just threw it on and walked into a cafe and threw my arm around or something, and this hole sprayed about three tables with empty potter wasp nests, which is never a good look. So
I think it's fantastic.
How do we? I mean, obviously the thing is there have been great evolutions, especially for wasps, especially the picnic, for example, which must have been like, this is absolutely wonderful. Thank you, human race. But how do you stop wasps ruining your barbecue then, or your picnic? What do we need? Because I mean, you are the wasp whisperer. So tell me how we stop. because there's nothing worse. I'll be sitting there on the terrace, the lake, the whole bit. You know, party of people are there. We've got, you know, bit of a costilla there. Some, you know, great barbecue going on, the whole thing. And then suddenly it begins. So any tips without making it, because swatting them is never a good move, because you just enrage them, and for very good reason too, because you wouldn't like to be whacked around the head with a newspaper. So how do we deal with our newfound friends?
Newfound friends. Well, the first thing to remember is that they are not remotely interested in you. You might think they are, and you know, you're not that interesting. You really are not. They're not after you. They're after whatever you have, your food or your drink. And so when they come along, I would, rather than wafting them away and trying to swat them away and shouting at them, watch them and see where they're going. And so if they're going for your sausages from your barbecue or your ham sandwich, then give them a bit. Make a wasp offering.
Make a wasp offering. We're going down some very strange and esoteric paths here. Hello to the god of wasps.
It's okay, totally true.
All right.
And actually, where? This is not that we are. I mean, I don't know. In Spain, maybe you're a bit ahead of us in the UK, but we are so behind the times in how we deal with our wasps. What lots of people do in other parts of the world where wasps are a big problem. So, like Argentina, for example, where these wasps, you think they're a problem in Spain, these wasps are invasive.
And they like a barbecue over there, don't they? Let's face it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. They like the barbecues, but they've also got shed loads of wasps. So what they do is when they have their barbecue or their picnic, they'll take along a very smelly bit of fish and they'll put it a few hundred meters away or something, 50 meters away. And the wasps will go to that.
Right.
And they'll leave them alone. And I have firsthand evidence that this works, not with a smelly bit of fish in Argentina, but with some ham in Venice. I was there on holiday last summer.
Oh, for goodness sake. If you're not on the Amazon, you have it.
I'm packing it all in. But then we were sitting in Venice with my family having pizza outside in the cafe.
Yeah.
And they had a table with a pile of ham on it, like cooked ham. Yep. And it was covered in wasps, literally hundreds of wasps.
Yeah.
We were only a metre away, having our pizza. Not a single wasp bothered us. And then by the end of our pizza, mm-hmm. when we finished, they'd eaten all the ham and they were starting to come and bother us. So people know what, so you just need to give them a wasp offering.
Right.
And then we can learn to live alongside these really important insects.
Now, you see, the thing is, I'm thinking this because there you are in Venice with your nearest and your dearest. And that restaurant probably didn't know that you are the wasp expert. So that was you gone from your family, because you would have been sat there going, look at that one and that one over there. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, I did take a video of it and put it on Twitter, so they might have noticed something was up.
What was it? So, I mean, compiling this book, I mean, what's the aim is basically to have to I mean, wasp offerings, right? We're in on that one, absolutely. But again, so much given. Paper, we talk about that, you know, paper comes from, because of the way the wasps chew up their prey, will get their stuff, their nutrients ready. Is that something that came?
Yeah. So I think wasps are, I mean, there's this story that perhaps wasps inspired us to make paper. So the story goes that there was this Chinese eunuch who was sitting under a tree, minding his own business, and he happened to spot this wasp scraping some bark off the tree and then flew up to its nest, and he saw it that chew it up and then smooth it out into this beautiful thin paper. And he thought, wow, that's a really good idea. I'm going to have a go at that. And therein was born paper. But maybe. But wasp, I mean, just in your yellow jacket wasp nest, your common picnic bothering wasp nest, which you might have in your shed or your loft or whatever, inside that nest are amazing displays of the types of paper that wasps can make. So on the outside, you've got the, you know, it looks a bit like a big football.
Yep.
It's sort of coated in this sort of, it's got an envelope around it. It's what we call it. It's a very light, low density paper, which is very quick and cheap for the wasps to make because they have to constantly be expanding that envelope to accommodate the growing nest. And also they use it to, there might be lots and lots of layers of the envelope in the UK where it's a bit colder, but maybe in Spain there'll be fewer layers because it's to do with insulation. It's trying to get the, keep the brood at the right temperature. And then inside the nest, you've got these combs, just like a honeybee nest. You've got these combs made up of hexagonal cells and a very, very dense, light, strong, high tensile strength paper there. So different kind of paper. And incidentally, really cool fact is that we think that wasps use their antenna to measure out specifically the size of the hexagonal cell, which is rather cool.
Wow.
And then in between those layers, those combs, there might be several combs, there will be lots of combs in the nest, is another type of paper that kind of are the struts that join the combs and combs together and hold them sort of, you know, a couple of centimeters apart. And that's another type of paper. And it's such a squidgy, it's like rubber. You can't really break it. And it's really strong and it holds all those like the layers of the high rise building, if you like, of those combs together. So just in your common yellow jacket wasp nest, you've got all these different types of paper. But there's a huge number of other species of wasps that build paper nests, particularly in South America, where there's lots of these social wasps and they build diverse looking. I mean, you wouldn't even know it was a wasp nest. Some of them look, I don't know, they're like the most modern art. They look like modern art.
If you do get stung, what's the best remedy? If you do get stung by one, what do you do? Lemon?
Oh, yes. So if you get stung, the best thing to do is as quickly as possible, suck out the poison. So if you get stung on your hand or something, just suck out the poison and spit it out. And then put ice, because immediately you're just trying to remove the poison as quickly as possible. And in fact, you know, one thing we have used in the field is one of these snake bite kits that you know, so they just little things that suck out the poison. So we do use those sometimes, but you can just suck it out yourself with your mouth. And then ice. If you've got ice handy, whack on some ice, because the less you can, if you can slow down the venom's passage around your body, then that's a good thing. Sucking it out, putting a bit of ice on, and then just being aware that, you know, some people do have very bad reactions to wasp stings, as they do to bee stings, and they can be very dangerous. So you just need to be aware of thinking, well, how do I feel? Do I feel my breathing's being restricted? Am I okay? Do I feel dizzy? And then if you are feeling unwell, then obviously you need to seek medical help. But hopefully it wouldn't get that far.
You see,
and antihistamines tablets is also a good one to do.
When I came to do this interview, I thought, yeah, okay, wasps. Yeah, I know all about them. I'll be about 10 minutes this interview. We've done 23 and a bit minutes on wasps, and I'm going to run out of time. You're brilliant. I can't recommend this book enough. The book is called Endless Forms. It's by Sarian Sumner. If people want to find you online and find out more about the wasps, where do we go?
I have a lab website. It's sumnerlab.co.uk, I think, or is it org? I can't remember.
Well, they'll just key you in and find you. I'm going to run out of time. The book is called Endless Forms. It's by Professor Sarian Sumner. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.